superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You got to go higher register to get up there.
If they win this game,
touchdown, Hollywood Higgins!
This weekend against Tennessee,
higher register.
At worst, they could finish 12-4.
The Browns are 9-3.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show,
from NBC Sports, Peter Kay, Yahoo Sports columnist Pete Thamel, NBC News political correspondent Steve Kornacki.
Coming up,
ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on this Monday with two football games, two Monday night games that we're excited about, and then one tomorrow night that will wrap up week 13 in the NFL, and we are three games away from having a 13th week of an NFL season be completed without any cancellations, which is, you know, knock on wood if you're with me. I mean, we're all there.
Let's go.
So tonight's game is a big one between Pittsburgh and Washington. Washington football team has not played since Thanksgiving when they punked the Cowboys, took that fake punt, ran with it, and took care of the Cowboys convincingly on Thanksgiving Day, and they need to win to keep pace with the New York Football Giants. And then you've got I'll tell you this, the Steelers and the Giants, as you know, are linked forever in many different ways. The Mara family and the Rooney family sit next to each other for years at the at any owners meeting. They sit next to each other. They are tight families. That is truly the reason why the actress Rooney Mara is named Rooney.
Rooney.
Rooney. Rooney.
She's from the Mara family, and Wellington, the patriarch, his nickname the Duke, is on the football. And so the Steelers could do the Giants a big time favor this evening. That said, the flip side is another player who could do a favor for his old team. And I saw our friend Jay in Kansas City wants to talk about that here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're on the air, sir. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Rich. It's great to talk to you again, bud.
What's on your mind?
Hey, I want to talk about how Alex Smith, we need Alex Smith to do us in Kansas City and one more favor and win the game tonight and beat the Steelers so we can get the number one seed overall. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is how on this show for the last 5 years I haven't missed an episode. I haven't stopped watching you since third grade.
Fantastic.
Third grade.
I called about a month ago and a month and a half ago, and told you about this. I don't know if you remember or not, but you always talk about how you cannot, the person belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame if you cannot tell the story of the NFL without that person. Like, you always say that.
Yeah, I'm listening. Hello? To you. Sure, I'm here. Uh-huh.
Okay. And so my saying is that Mr. Rich Eisen needs to go to the NFL Hall of Fame because you cannot tell the story of the NFL for the last 20 years without Mr. Rich Eisen.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's very, very nice of you to say, Jay. And, you know, I appreciate
that. I mean that. I'm not just trying to get on your show. I really do mean that.
I appreciate you saying that. How old are you, Jay? How old are you?
I'm 25, but.
How old are you in the third grade?
No, sorry, 35. I'm losing it right now.
Okay.
I'm 35 years old.
All right. That's about to say, okay. Thanks for the call, Jay. I really appreciate that. That's very kind of you. I will say this, that the Steelers losing to the Washington football team tonight does not cinch it for Kansas City, and not just because there's four games left, but this is the old out-of-conference game, and the records, even though you're this, you know, the first tiebreak, if you have the same record and you're not in the same division, but you're in the same conference, obviously, is conference record. The Chiefs' one loss is to Vegas in conference. This would be a one loss for the Steelers out of conference. The Steelers would still have the tiebreak. However, Kansas City, as you know, has four more games to go, and one of them is against New Orleans. Look out. And then the next game, Kansas City at Miami. That's one right there, isn't it? That's one right there, isn't it? I know Miami is 8-4, and Tua has not really looked all that like a world beater, with the exception of the game against Arizona. But, man, that's going to be one that's going to build and build and build throughout this week, which is Kansas City at Miami. That's going to be a big one. And, of course, part of that lead-up will be the fact that last time that Kansas City was in that building, they were picking confetti out of their hair. That's where they won the Super Bowl. And it's going to be just a fun week leading up to that. Then they're against New Orleans, home for Atlanta, home for the Chargers. And so the next 2 weeks are going to be, one would think, the ones in which Kansas City could get got more than the last two. Pittsburgh moving forward from here after tonight's game, in a season where all they've done is just have to adjust to somebody else's COVID issues, whether it's moving their bye week from week number 8 to week 4 and then beating Tennessee anyway later on, and then moving around from Thanksgiving to Sunday to Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday, to now having to move this game from Sunday to Monday. After this game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Washington football team, they have got a big one on Sunday Night Football at Buffalo. Look out. And then at Cincinnati, God bless ESPN, that's the Monday Night Football game, 4 days before Christmas. And then the Sunday after Christmas, home for Indianapolis at Cleveland, baby.
It could be snow at that game.
Oh, man, what will that mean? Amazing. Difference between making the bye and not. Cleveland will have already clinched, one would think.
Cleveland, I would probably be locked into that five spot.
Based on the way that they're playing. Big one tonight. Also in Arizona.
Yeah, too big.
With the home team being the team from San Francisco that really plays in San Jose, Santa Clara, and now is in Arizona, where Buffalo strolls in on Monday night. Last time they were there was the Hail Mary. As you know, I suggested to 49ers CEO Jed York for him to play the Hail Mary over and over and over again and just say, hey, I was just hitting play on what the Cardinals left in the machine. I mean, it's
a great idea.
Us.
I hope he
does. No, you know, hands up for, no, hey, no, just, you know, like one of those offensive linemen that's called for holding saying, I didn't hold, I didn't get anything. It's dummy. And so that's a big one tonight because the Bills have the Dolphins right on their heels. And the Dolphins are half game back. Buffalo loses this one. They will have to, you know, they've already beaten Miami earlier in the season, so they do have that as a leg up, but that's a big game right there. And then San Francisco. I went from a hot take 2 weeks ago saying that don't count them out yet to just last week upgrading them. Like, they're making it. They're making it, Chris. They win tonight. They're 6-6, just like the Minnesota Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals. I haven't popped it into a playoff generator yet. Would that put San Francisco in? I don't know, based on what the tie breaks would be. I don't have the slide rule. Steve Kornacki's not here to help. He was on an hour, too. But this is big. And I'll just say this as well about what's going on with the 49ers. You heard Jed York talk about it last week. This team is not using this as an excuse. As you know, the teams in the NFL that have the it's us against the world mentality and have the players have the ability to back that up with their play, as, say, a defending NFC champion can do, This is a dangerous 49ers team. They are not happy with what's going on in their world. They don't know right now if they are done, when they're done with these back-to-back home games, and then they play the Dallas Cowboys coming up in week 15. That's a Sunday night football game in Dallas. They don't know if they're going to have to go back to Arizona or if things are clear for them to go home and practice at home that week. And if they can't, they will not be home for Christmas. I have spoken to people in that organization who had a terrible time leaving for Arizona this week to play this game because they told their kids, I might not be home for Christmas. And it was bad news in the household. Ooh. You know, looking your child in the face and saying, I might not be home for the holidays. I'm just going to shoot you straight here. So this team is not happy, but they are probably circling the wagons, to use the phrase that you will no doubt hear Chris Berman say tonight for 49ers and Bills. They are circling the wagons, and I think this is going to be a dangerous team, us against the world. They've got a coach who can light it up like that too.
I kind of like them tonight.
I do like them tonight. I already predicted them to win on game day morning. I don't know what that really means because I've been kind of all over the place there, but I believe it in my bones tonight.
I think last week they kind of showed us what they're capable of against the Rams.
And if Kittle and Jimmy G return week 16 at Arizona when they're the road team, then home for Seattle.
Well, what if you stick with Nick Mullins?
I don't know. We'll see how Nick plays. I don't know how Garoppolo's going to look, and I think you got to go with the guy that took you to the Super Bowl last year.
But if, let's say, Nick lights it up tonight. I mean, how do you get from him?
I guess we could look at that down the road. That would be a high class problem for a 5-6 team to have right now.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Looking forward to tonight like that.
Yeah, same.
I believe in the 49ers quite a bit. A lot of fun football coming up tonight, Tuesday, rest of the season.
You know, me and Nick Mullins, we are attached on LinkedIn. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got a request two years ago, and it was him.
Let me make a note of this.
Make a note of that, Rich.
Maybe that's one of my four downs for tomorrow.
LinkedIn.
Important. Okay, ready for Overreaction Monday?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Christopher, you have the floor.
Okay, so I put a poll out at the beginning of the show. Who's the best team in the NFL? 65% say it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
My overreaction is based on last night, Rich. The Chiefs are not the best team in the NFL.
No, that's an overreaction. And I kind of hit it at the end of the hour two, not knowing this is going to be part of your top of hour three first up item on Overreaction Monday. You can't blow people up. This is the National Football League. It's any given Sunday, any given Monday or tomorrow night, any given Tuesday or earlier this week, any given Wednesday. Name the day. It's any given. And and Super Bowl teams don't blow people out all the time. They go overcome adversity, and they lean on their people. And last night, Tyreek Hill had two touchdowns that he scored that didn't count because, one, he didn't realize he caught the ball. And another one, he flipped into the end zone after scoring the touchdown, but it was called back due to penalty. And they still won the game by three. And they have weapons all over the place. They're still the best team in my mind in the NFL right now going into the last quarter of the season. That's an overreaction. What else?
All right, let's go to Philadelphia. The Eagles need to start Jalen Hurts, and they need to start him now for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's an overreaction, too. You know, one of the things that I'm going to talk about on tomorrow's show, because I know we got Damian Woody coming up and another time down the road, I'll just give you a preview of one of my downs for tomorrow, is because Taysom Hill is on the program tomorrow for the New Orleans Saints on Tuesday. This team may have the best defense in the NFL.
Oh.
Saints. And the reason why they have 10 wins right now is because of the defense. They're putting a hurt on people. That's two games where Matt Ryan, the Mattrel, couldn't do a darn thing with it. And they had Todd Gurley, and they had Julio Jones yesterday.
Yeah.
So that would be one hell of a start, first start for Jalen Hurts, is to throw him in New Orleans. But he did look very, I guess, serviceable is one way to look at it. And you know, you do have to play sometime, and maybe this is the week to do it. I don't know about for the rest of the season. That's still a large cap hit you got to take. So I'll just put a pin in that one and just say that's not an overreaction. It might be what happens.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a proper reaction. I just talked myself into saying, let's go. Okay, go for it. What's the worst they can do? Is just eat $60 million on the cap? That is the worst they can do,
yeah,
actually.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. All right, you just mentioned Taysom Hill. He's going to be joining us tomorrow. How about this? If needed, the Saints can win the Super Bowl with Taysom Hill.
I just talked to you in a way that they certainly can. Through a couple touchdown passes yesterday, he's getting better, isn't he?
Had his best game, I think.
He did.
His career yesterday.
Look at him. And he's against a team that saw him 2 weeks ago. That's why I thought the Saints were vulnerable yesterday. You throw the records out in a blood sport against a blood rival and a team that saw him 2 weeks ago. It's not like, well, this is new. We can't practice against it or we do our best to scout against it. He did very well. So I'll say that's not an overreaction. I don't think they're going to have to. But it's working out. It's definitely working out. And if the defense keeps balling out like that, that's all you got to do is just don't make the mistakes, put three on the board, and let's roll. Michael Thomas had 100 receiving yards. Let's go.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right, next, let's talk about the Browns. I did put out another poll. How far do the Browns go this year? 42% say wild card, 35% divisional. That's leading right now. I'm going to say the Browns are going to be playing in the AFC Championship
game. That's not an overreaction. I know Peter King said something earlier today about how can the question about the Browns, he thinks, okay, Peter King, I thought, was spot on saying that the Browns made the playoffs yesterday. They win their ninth game. They clinch in a winning season. The way they're playing, that they should have 10, 11 wins, and that will get them in. They still have to win the 10th and 11th game, but they've got the team to do it. The question for them is, can they beat the Chiefs or the Steelers 8 days after winning a playoff game? Because that's the deal. You go from wild card to the divisional round, and who can you beat in that divisional round? Who are you going to beat? Let's go. Can you beat the Steelers or the Chiefs 8 days after winning a playoff game? And the answer is, yeah, they can. Oh, yeah, they can. You pack the defense in the running game. That's what Warren Sapp, that's what you need. That's what you need to win on the road. Why not the AFC Championship game? Why not?
Why not?
Again, the Tennessee Titans last year made the AFC Championship game with stout running game, stout defense, quarterback who didn't make a mistake and can play action you over the top. That's the Cleveland Browns of 2020. That's not overreaction. I'm in. I'm in on that.
Okay, how about, are you in on the Skull Clap Ridge? The Vikings are back.
They're not back. But what? They do have the best running back in the game and the best young rookie receiver in the game. And a quarterback who can find him. He also, that mistake he made at the beginning of the second half. I don't know, man. I don't know. They might be the team you don't want to see as the seventh seed, but I'll tell you the team you definitely don't want to see as the seventh seed is the defending NFC champion 49ers, and I think that's who it's going to be. I think that's who it's going to be. Minnesota's last games of the year, they're at Tampa, and they have to go to New Orleans. Chicago at home and Detroit at home. Maybe they get got. Who knows if Detroit starts playing better. What was the stat that you said about the Lions before the show?
Oh, my gosh. They had lost lost 40 straight, losing by 10-plus points in the fourth quarter before yesterday.
So 40 straight times that they were losing by at least 10 in the 10 or more in the fourth quarter. They lost 40
all
in a row.
Yeah.
Until yesterday.
Until yesterday.
You got one more for me?
Yeah, one more. Aaron Rodgers, Rich, he's closed the MVP gap on Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. Oh, sure he has. Absolutely he has. He's playing amazing football.
He really is.
One of my favorite storylines of 2020. Aaron Rodgers is pissed off. He's pissed at his coach. He's pissed at the world. And wait till you see when he's with a chip on his shoulder. And he's got a chip on his shoulder, and it doesn't feel like it's him pissed at his coach or pissed at the world. He came on the show, and he basically said, I'm working on myself. It's the exact opposite. I'm at peace with everything. Boy, is he with peace with everything. Isn't he? And Aaron Jones busts one for 70-something yards out of the blue to wrap it up just when they were beginning to maybe have it slip away.
Yeah, it's nice when Devontae Adams
is
healthy.
Oh, how good.
And Tunyon?
That was Tunyon. Robert Tunyon. Tunyon rhymes with Funyon. How about this moment? Aaron Rodgers, congratulations to him on his 400th career touchdown pass. How about Devontae Adams? I mean, it could have gotten called back because he had his hand in the face mask of his defender. But he was not being denied. Like, he was going to catch the 400th career touchdown pass for Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers saw Davante Adams get down on his knees and presented to him like he was Jon Snow. No, or like Simba or whatever.
Yeah,
like Game of Thrones. And then I saw a tweet from our friend James Jones. Did you see that tweet from James Jones?
I did not, no.
James Jones tweeted at Davante Adams telling him basically congrats on the moment and recognizing the moment. He said that he threw Aaron Rodgers' 100th career touchdown pass into the stands in Atlanta. Great job, Tay, being aware of the moment. I launched his 100th touchdown pass into the stands in Atlanta. I owe you 12. Shaking my head,
that's
SMH.
That's hilarious.
That's Overreaction Monday. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll have Damian Woody. Anybody on hold, we're going to take all your phone calls. We'll empty the phone banks before the end of the hour, I promise you. We're back with Damian Woody. Talk Jets, Browns, and so much more.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. So, the Steelers play tonight. So do the Bills. It's the same short week for both teams on Sunday Night Football. Western New York, you can draw a straight line. You can basically call it the Jim Kelly line from Buffalo to Pittsburgh. Straight line between those two great football towns. And Steelers-Bills, Sunday Night Football in Western New York. If there was only a fan-filled stadium for that one. Oh, Bills Mafia getting all lubricated in the parking lot all day long. All the flaming tables.
Yeah, jumping through flaming tables.
Oh, my gosh. Finding out if your Josh's Jack stays soggy in beer. Steeler fans coming up. Oh, man. That'd be great. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network on the Mightier 1090, as well as our Sirius XM station, Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. We're on after Dan Patrick every single day there for your ear gate and for your eye gate. Also, NBC Sports on Peacock. Enjoy watching him on the worldwide leader in sports, longtime offensive lineman in the National Football League, Damian Woody, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Damian?
Rich, I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I am doing well. So let's hit on a couple of things here, you know, that you are personally familiar with. Belichick, how does he do it against rookie quarterbacks so consistently? What does he cook up? What have you seen with your own two eyes, Damian, personally, on this front?
Well, Rich, he's the master of illusion. You know, he just knows how to scheme up coverages. If you look at the Patriots defense, the best part of the defense is in the back end and in that secondary. And his ability to disguise those coverages, along with being able to know how to break down your protections and rush and get after your quarterback. And so Justin Herbert has had a great year, probably going to maybe be the rookie of the year. But he had never seen anything like a Bill Belichick-led defense before. And what the Patriots did, particularly on the defensive side of football, was they created just chaos, rushing, you know, running what they call stunts and all different coverages. And when you're a rookie quarterback and you have to look at all of that, it's a daunting task. And the Patriots just completely overwhelmed the Chargers. I mean, from special teams, I believe they had, two special teams touchdowns, I believe, And they just completely dominated the Los Angeles Chargers. It was just a coaching – it was a coaching clinic, and I would advise anyone, just go rewatch that game, because if you want to watch a coaching clinic, watch Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
So, again, I guess just to – because we've had Brian Billick on this show many times, and I ask him almost every time to repeat the phrase that drives him crazy, that Bill Belichick will take away the one thing that you need to win, like the rest of the coaches in the NFL would never think of doing that, right? That they're all dummies. But it does seem that Bill is able to do, certainly against rookie quarterbacks, what other teams like, you know, it's not like Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles don't know how to do it. I mean, and he does it with a different cast. It's like, just to say, do your job. He doesn't just wave a wand. How does he do it, Damian? You know?
Well, I think the difference is that a lot of coaches have their system, and they're stubborn when it comes to their system. Coach Belichick, he's flexible. He can bring anything at you at any time. He can have 1 minute, he can have four down linemen. Next snap, he might have one down lineman and a bunch of linebackers and DBs. You know, he'll just throw out all these different looks to confuse you, and that's what he does particularly well with rookie quarterbacks, because a lot of times they haven't seen these type of looks that Coach Belichick would throw at them, and that's why he's, you know, he's had these rookie quarterbacks numbers.
Damian Woody here on the Rich Eisen Show. Then why isn't it, I guess, you got to be Belichick, right? Because another spot where you used to play, Detroit hires Matt Patricia. We saw Bill O'Brien get hired in Houston. The number of times Joe Judge's and Brian Flores appear to be outliers here, but they're also guys that aren't offensive-minded, or Patricia obviously defensive-minded. Well, why doesn't it work when Belichick acolytes go somewhere else more often than not, Damian?
Well, I think a lot of times what ends up happening, Rich, is everyone tries to emulate Coach Belichick so much that they let themselves go in the process. And I remember having a conversation with Coach Mangini after he was let go in New York when I was there with him with the Jets. And one of the things that came up was, man, I should have been myself. I should have, you know, had my own personality and not try to emulate Coach Belichick so much. And I think that's what happens a lot of times with a lot of these guys who come from that tree, is that they want so bad to take everything from New England, but they forget that they have to be their own man in the process. And sometimes they can lose their own way. And I think that's where you got to give guys like Brian Flores and Joe Judge, I think they're just – they are who they are. They're going to be themselves. Yes, they coached under Coach Belichick, but they're still going to be who they are. And I think players respect that aspect from them.
Yeah, I think I saw one of the Dolphins players come off the field after there was that bench clearer against the Bengals. I don't know who the player's name was, but the player went up to Brian Flores, who was probably giving this player an earful about his demeanor during that skirmish, and Flores, the player was giving Flores a fist pump, and he refused to fist bump back, like, you know, kind of reminding him, I'm still the coach around here, you know. It was an interesting moment, although Flores was also out there on the field, and you see Joe Judge just crushing it right now. So at least one New York team's doing it, right, Damian?
Yeah. Yes, you could definitely say that, Rich. You could definitely say that at least one New York team is doing it. Joe Judge, he's brought a no-nonsense approach, very disciplined approach to the New York Football Giants. And those guys, Rich, those guys are playing hard as heck out there. That's a ball club that, regardless of what their record is, you're not going to want to play them at this time of year, because they are who they are. They're going to punch you in the mouth.
They certainly are playing very well. I got Damian Woody here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get to the Jets now, because you have been taking a similar posture on Twitter as I have as well on this show. And it's very difficult. You know, it's very difficult for me to keep saying that a team who I want to see succeed so well should lose. They came awful close. And I guess Greg Williams needs to be invited to the parade one day when Trevor Lawrence is picking confetti out of his beautiful hair. But what is going on, do you think, with these players? No one wants to lose them all, but what do you think is going on with the Jets right now at this moment with this locker room, Damian Woody?
Well, I would say there's an intense amount of frustration. You know, like you said, we, you know, in the media, and I know fans talk about it, you know, as far as the Jets, quote-unquote, tanking. There's no tanking when it comes to the locker room. There's no tanking when it comes to the coaching staff. And there's no tanking when it comes to, you know, the, like, general manager. They want to win. They understand that, the situation is not great, but they're trying to win every meeting, every practice, every game. And unfortunately, with the Jets, you have a situation where it's kind of a perfect storm. You have years of bad drafting, which has left the cupboard, you know, pretty bare as far as depth and just elite talent. And then you've got a coaching situation where it's just one of the worst in the National Football League led by Adam Gates. So this situation is going to get resolved. There's only four games left. They're going to dismiss Adam Gates. But, you know, I've said before, Rich, and I think you would agree, if you take a macro approach and look at the Jets, that's a pretty attractive job. I think Joe Douglas, the GM, has done a great job of kind of restocking the cover as far as draft picks, cap space. And so any person, any coach that's looking at this situation once the season is over, they're going to have their choice of a lot of good coaches out there.
Well, that's another reason why I want them to lose as much as possible, to be honest with you, is because the best coaching candidates will not be available to the Jets if they don't have the ability to choose Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if you sit here and say, you know, hey, we got the third overall pick, but still come to a place that has been so dysfunctional over the last few years anyway. Or you could say, we've got Trevor Lawrence, we've got all these draft choices, it's the New York media market, let's go. So who do you think would be the best coach to bring in to coach Trevor Lawrence if the Jets do actually complete the feat over the next 4 weeks, Damian?
Rich, that's an awfully tough one, because there's a lot of candidates out there. I mean, we've heard, you know, Eric Bieniemy, Robert Saleh. I don't know if I want to mispronounce his name, but the defensive coordinator with the 49ers.
Yes, Saleh.
Mm-hmm. Saleh. The OC from the Carolina Panthers, his name is hot. We've heard rumors now, today, about maybe Bill Cowher. I mean, there's a lot of different flavors of coaches that are going to be available for the Jets. I tend to believe, Rich, this team needs a CEO type of coach. They need a coach that's going to repair the reputation of this franchise, because right now the New York Jets are a laughingstock. They're the butt of every joke around the National Football League. They need a guy that's going to bring credibility, that's going to instill culture, that's going to be able to work well with Joe Douglas. I don't know if I want a hot coordinator. I need somebody who's going to be that CEO guy that can repair this reputation.
Well, I mean, Bill Cowher would obviously suffice over that front. I mean, he's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He wins every week, though, on the set of CBS. You know what I mean? Like, that would be again, the only reason why he would ever do that is, like, here you go. You've got all of these draft choices. You don't have to move. You live in New York already. And on top of it, you get Trevor Lawrence. Who wouldn't want to be hooked up at the hip with Trevor Lawrence? I mean, every single coach on planet Earth who's interested in having a job with all of the draft choices and again, the number one media market, who wouldn't want that? That's why part of the reason why I want the Jets to keep doing this. And I feel for Sam Darnold, right? I mean, I totally feel this kid totally deserves better than to have this part of the conversation involve him. And you know, that's why I feel it's very difficult to have this talk, Damian, week in, week out.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I've been a Sam Darnold fan the whole time. But I just feel like the time has come where it's time to turn the page. I think that Sam Darnold has been beaten up and battered. I think the Jets organization has failed him. He hasn't played well. Anyone watching the Jets can clearly see there's a lot of deficiencies in Sam Darnold's game. But I also feel like he's redeemable. Like, he can be the things that ail him right now can be fixed in another organization and under the right tutelage. So, like I said, I think he's still a starter in this league, just not with the New York Jets.
Before I let you go, Damian, I saw your tweet about how the biggest signing this offseason may have been the Browns signing Bill Callahan to be their offensive line coach, using that as the door. Let's open the conversation here on how real do you think the Cleveland Browns are at 9-3?
Listen, 9-3. Bill Parcells, would always say you are what your record says you are. They're, right. They're a good ball club. I still am skeptical about the Cleveland Browns. One of the stats that to me, one of the most important stats is point differential, and the Cleveland Browns, I think, is like -15. So yes, they're 9-3, but they got a lot of work to do. I'm a big believer in their running game. I'm a big believer in defense, particularly their front four. I'm still skeptical of Baker Mayfield when it comes to playoff time. Can he make those critical plays in crunch time to put your team over the hump? That's what I need to see.
Damian, I appreciate the time. Thanks for the 2 cents. Enjoy your work on ESPN, and let's do this more often. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Rich.
You got it. I follow him on Twitter. You should, too, at Damian Woody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know. I'm a big Baker guy, and I understand the last few years have been up and down with a lot of downs as well. But I don't know, man, in terms of him in a big game, I saw the Rose Bowl with my own two eyes.
Yeah, he's
in beautiful Pasadena. That game against Georgia, they did not lose because of Baker Mayfield.
No.
He's played in big games. He hasn't played in a big game in a long time. Yesterday was a big game, and he played. And he threw 4 touchdown passes in the first half. Only other quarterback in the history of the Cleveland Browns to throw 4 first-half touchdown passes is Otto Graham. And again, he was so great, they put his unitard in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You can go into Canton, Ohio. You can go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and see Otto Graham's unitard. You can basically say to another human being that's there to help you navigate a room, where can I find Otto Graham's unitard? You can say that to another human being, and they can say that. One day, maybe, if he decides to wear a unitard, you can say that about Baker Mayfield, is what I'm saying. And I kind of believe him. Now then, let's take a break. When we come back, we have a ton of phone calls. I want to hit as many of them as I possibly can. I also want to hit your news update because I need to know who's injured and who's not. The Carolina Panthers are coming off a bye week. Are you saying Mike Davis still is the Judah Maccabee or Kramer's auto dealer of fantasy football? Is it still working? That's coming up.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, we are taking you to the top of the hour of another edition of Brother from Another. George Atala of the NFL Players Association. I know George, good man. He'll be on with the two Michaels at the top of the hour on Brother from Another, who takes you to PFTPM, which will be talking about the game that's going on at that very moment. Steelers and Washington football team getting set to kick off about 3 hours from now.
Now, there is an issue with how that game's being broadcast. It's like a local Fox game, so it's not available.
Oh, it's not. Oh.
But it's only available in like 30% of the country.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, there will be a lot of irate Steeler fans saying, where's my game?
They're part of the region that's getting it. We're not.
No,
getting,
I know that.
But outside.
Dude, I'm talking about around the country.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
around the country. If they don't have DirecTV, then. SOL, right? As they say.
Ooh.
So we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're got phone lines all sorts of lit. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Okay, let's go. Are you ready for your news update, Chris?
I have a few things.
Okay,
I
so get a few in line. Jeff in Detroit's been hanging on for two hours. How are you, Jeff? Appreciate it.
Hey, what's going on, Unc? You all right?
I'm doing well. Thanks for hanging on as long as you did. What's on your mind?
At all. Listen, you know, yesterday, hey, Mikey with the fingers, wonderful, man. Yesterday had me thinking about something, too, as far as defensive rules go. And having the one out on his ear, the defense saved the game. The defense stepped up. The defense ended up playing for the coach or the interim coach at that time. You're the GM.
Yes.
What do you do as what do you do with Matt Stafford?
Oh, gosh. Well, look, that is going to be the question here, Jeff. You know, we were just talking about with Damian Woody about how attractive the Jets job is. The question with the Lions job, it has to be, okay, you look at the organization and, you know, you also look at the fact that the Lions have a quarterback that's on the back nine, right? That somebody, he's excellent. It's not like he's 38. But he's north of 30, and you do have to sit there and wonder, is he that guy? And that's going to be
along with the fact
that's going to be part of the conversation that the Ford family has with whoever comes in. What's your plan? And you're going to have to sit there and suss out. Like, you're going to have to roll the dice. Look, Robert Saleh is great, and he's an excellent candidate, and certainly for Detroit because he's from Dearborn. And I know there was a politician, local politician, pounding the table saying we should hire him. But what if Robert Saleh's like, okay, I'm not sold on Matthew Stafford. I know how to game him, and I know that this is not the guy I want. And he goes in and basically says to the Lions, yeah, what's your status on Matt Stafford? And they're like, he's going to stay. Suddenly, you know, maybe Robert Saleh wants to go to the Jets and get you know, hook up with a kid coming off the campus of Clemson. So that's the question. I don't have the answer to it. He is definitely more than serviceable. He is an excellent quarterback, as we saw him wing it.
I think he'll end up on the market somewhere with a possible Super Bowl in sight, man.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it.
I'll take him in a second.
You know, I know you would. I know you would.
Only 32.
But this is a question you have to have. Only 32. So what happens 3 years from now when you might be on the hot seat? He's 35. These are the things that coaches have to think about. By the way, you know a great spot for Sam Darnold would be Indianapolis. Oh, that would be just for him. Just a sorry we broke you. Let's put you in the hands of Frank Reich. Present. Their problem would be, you know, for them to be in division. I mean, in conference. But those are the eggs you got to break to make the old Trevor Lawrence omelet here. back to the phone lines here on the show. Let's go to Brian in Chicago. He's been hanging on for a very long time. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Rich. How are you, sir?
Thanks for hanging on as long as you did.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Yeah, regarding Bob's call from Youngstown, I'm originally from Youngstown, Ohio.
Yes.
So I understand the thought process. And basically, you're just dealing with a fan base that is emotionally a wreck. That's all. It's really simple. They can't celebrate it because it feels unnatural to them because they've been disappointed so many times. And it's just that, right? I mean, I think you can empathize.
Well, barring injury or the pandemic, you know, and Chris was going to tell us about a team that's dealing with hopefully not an outbreak, a new team in a second. But, you know, still, you got that run game. You've got the defense. You've got Baker playing at the height of his career right now. There's five straight games without an interception. He's never done this before. And now here come the Ravens. I think as a Browns fan, I would be like, yes, let's go. Let's get them while they're down. Let's get them and let's prove that week one, like let's beat them by, let's do it like what Belichick did back in, what was that, 01, Chris? Or was that 02, 03 when it was? When they lost the Bills in week one and they're like 31-0 and then turned around and beat them by the same score in week 17.
Yeah.
And then won it all. Like, you know, I'm not saying you're going to win it all, but let's go for the Browns. That's what I'm saying.
Everything you just said is logical, but that runs in the face of what that organization has shown us over the years. Hey, I got one other thing for you that I'd like to ask you about.
Go for it.
All right. So I'm a junkie when it comes to College Game Day. So I have to watch that before I watch any college games.
Sure.
Because it's just a great program, as you know.
Sure.
And I've heard you say it before.
Yes.
And I do like Desmond, although I'm a Buckeye, and I still love Desmond Howard. I think he's legit. I've seen him just get better and better as an analyst over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So over the weekend, one of the things that they talked about on College Game Day was whether or not, like, the Big Ten is deserving of getting someone in, meaning, of course, Ohio State.
Right.
And always the argument is, and I've even heard you say it a little bit, and I know Dan said it too, is, you know, well, they just, you know, maybe they don't have quite the resume. The Big Ten isn't as good as they are, you know, usually, and blah, blah, blah. The reason people are saying the Big Ten isn't as good as it typically is that there's something changing in the Big Ten. Northwestern has been getting better for years. Indiana's definitely been getting better for years. And so if it was Wisconsin and Penn State that were undefeated and vying for supremacy in that conference, everybody would say, well, of course, you know, Ohio State deserves it if they went out. But what's getting lost here is that it's like a program bias. It's like everyone is just simply saying that because it's Indiana, it's now starting to become the class of, you know, along with Ohio State, it's starting to become the class of the conference. It's not as important. Indiana just went to Wisconsin. They were a 14-point dog, and
I totally understand what you're saying, and thank you for the call there from Youngstown. Look, Ohio State has the best prospects, and there's no doubt if the playoff committee that's going to invite Alabama, our first guest tomorrow, Brian Kelly, right, Clemson, there's one spot left. Who are you going to give it to? You want to give it to A&M?
No.
Okay. No, I mean, you got to sit here and think about this sort of stuff. Who else are you going to give it to? Cincinnati?
No.
Okay. Are you really? Could you imagine they take Cincinnati over Ohio State? Never.
Remember, guys, it's a TV show.
That's what it is. It is a TV show. They want you to watch the final three games, the two playoff games, and then the national championship. They
Absolutely.
Want that. So Ohio State has fans who go totally nuts. They want them in. They want them in the worst way. But the last thing they want is to not have them because the Big Ten has some cockamamie rule that they haven't played enough games. That'll get rectified. That's why I'm saying expand it. Expand it. This is just absurd. It's just absurd. Let's get to your news update right here. Just give me a couple items so we can sneak in a couple phone calls right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Go for it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Okay, what do you have over there,
All right,
Chris?
Real quick about Mike Davis, Rich. I think it's come to an end, finally.
It's Christian McCaffrey's back.
Yeah, Matt Rhule said he's hopeful McCaffrey's going to be back this week. Quote, there's nothing to make me think he's not.
But what's the issue with Carolina outside of all of that?
Okay, so the Panthers have 8 players now on the COVID-19 reserve list, including DJ Moore and a close contact, Curtis Samuel. So two of their best offensive players are on the COVID list right now.
Okay, several are close contacts, which means, again, they want to make sure that they don't have it. This is off of bye week. That's the whole thing about byes. That's, you know, everyone's away from the facility and hopefully, I don't know.
Yeah.
Carolina, who's Carolina play? Carolina plays next Denver. Okay.
So keep an eye on that situation.
At home and then Green Bay, Washington, and then New Orleans. Okay. By the way, McCaffrey, if this all does go well, McCaffrey versus Denver, that's no gimme. But you traded for him, so congratulations just for this very moment.
It's got to come through for me.
Okay,
though,
very
man.
Good. Who'd you trade for him again?
Aaron Jones.
Wow.
Oh, baby.
Which last night, as he was going about 77, was not looking that like I made such a smart move.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Well, nice.
As we talked about before the show, Rich, the Jets fired Greg Williams.
They did.
Quinner. Adam Gase talked about that real quick. Quote, I just felt like that was the best thing for our team moving forward. Organizationally, we had discussions this morning, and we felt like it was the best move for us to make.
I mean, You imagine you're the head coach and you're like, we're this close to winning. All you got to do is just bat it down. And then you watch the blitz and you see the guy up top and you're like, that guy, I know for a fact who that guy is. I know for a fact that that's the fastest guy in the draft. And I know for a fact that you put him on an island with the rookie. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I don't care if you want to make sure that you tell Gruden who's the real man here. I mean, it's literally, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Of course, you say, get out. I don't want to see anymore. Oof. You know, Gay said after the game he didn't know that was the call. I mean, because again, that's his side of the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, you mentioned this with Damian Woody last segment, but yes. Boomer Esiason said in his radio show this morning, hinting that he thinks Bill Cowher is interested in coaching again.
Oh, boy.
And that Cowher thinks the Jets is the best job out there. You think Bill Cowher comes back? I mean, there's going to be six, seven, eight openings possibly.
Boomer. Look, I know the way this world works, man. Did he really say that on his radio show?
He said this morning, yeah.
So there's two ways that this goes. He either turns to Bill during a commercial break and he goes, you want me to say something on my show? Or he hears what Bill says and doesn't ask Bill and says it anyway. So that's two. That's it.
Yeah. Scenario.
Or he just says what he believes because he's a Jet guy and he wants Bill to be the guy because he knows Bill is.
He's around Bill all the time.
Bill has shut down so many other different opportunities. You know that. I know it. But for Boomer to say this means Bill is interested, and that means it's Trevor Lawrence bringing him in. That's why I keep saying to everybody that Trevor Lawrence is coming. And anybody who says, stay home, Trevor, because the Jets will break you. This is the one opportunity the Jets have since Parcells was interested in coming there to get somebody of this caliber to coach them. It's not just about Trevor Lawrence. It's about who the Jets can get to coach them. That without Trevor Lawrence would never say the Jets have the best opportunity. Never. So now, James Brown will have to turn to Bill the next time they're on TV, which will be Sunday, and say, Bill, what do you think? And Boomer will be sitting right there, and it'll be fascinating.
Think about that. You want to make a splash, though, if you're the Jets. That's a big fish.
But there's no other job that Bill would want to come out. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to have a bust. And he wins every week. I've worked with him. I've seen how he's just like, he's smiling. He doesn't lose ever anymore. But once you're in it, you never want to get out of it fully. You always want to be in it. All coaches. Yep. Wow. How about that?
He's already got a ring, too, and he's already, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you want to do it again, and again, the way to do it is you get hooked up with a generational talent.
Yeah, true.
And he doesn't have to move. He lives right there in New York. You got another item over there?
Yeah, real quick, NBA note from today. Yahoo sources, NBA is going to implement a new resting policy for this season only. With teams prohibited from resting healthy players for any high-profile, nationally televised game, violation could result in a fine of at least $100,000.
Okay, so the all-time great phrase of
load management. Bye-bye.
Same person who came up with load management came up with wardrobe malfunction. Just let's call it a wardrobe malfunction. Maybe they'll buy it. Let's call it load management. Can't call it that anymore. It'll just be called a hamstring injury. That's all.
Yeah.
Tough to enforce. I mean, I like the idea of Adam Silver trying to enforce this.
In theory, yeah. It's great.
In theory, it's great.
Cal in Georgia, I've got about 30 seconds for you, Cal. What do you have for me, sir?
Hey, I was just calling to talk to you about your people giving you trouble about your age and listening to them.
Okay. What do you got?
Listening to you since they were young.
Mm-hmm.
The year you were born, I graduated from high school. So you got an old geezer. That's the thing. That don't make feel better.
Thank you, Cal. Appreciate that, man. I appreciate that, and I hope you're aging just as beautifully as I am, sir.
Well, I called you a couple months ago. I told you I was one click south of 70 when your son was upset that his friend's program went.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for the call, Cal. I appreciate that. One click south of 70,
Cal.
I want to thank Peter King, Pete Famel, Steve Kornacki. That was great. And Damian Woody. Tomorrow's show, Chris Sullivan from This Is Us, John Hamm, Brian Kelly, and Taysom Hill. We'll see you on the radio Tuesday, back here on Peacock in a second.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.